thought you asked.
Welcome to We Thought You Asked, a podcast where we chat about life, our pop culture vices, and give lots of unsolicited advice and opinions for free. I'm Tori.
And I'm Kelly. And let's hop into the show.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, everyone. We have a lot of catching up on pop culture to do.
But before we do, Kelly, I have a bit of a story to tell you. So yesterday, I went to go pour myself a cup of coffee, and I went to go grab the creamer out of the fridge. And what do you know? Brian had used the last of the coffee creamer that morning without mentioning anything, which is literally one of my biggest pet peeves in the whole world. Like, I would prefer to stockpile things rather than ever go to use something and see that someone else has used the last of it. Maybe that's from growing up with a sibling. Maybe that's from the trauma that I have from that one time we went hiking as a family and you drank all of the water that we had on us. I don't know.
No one told me that was the only water we had. I just want to preface that. But I do think it comes from our mom having a military father, because we always grew up with certain things stockpiled in the home. Like, we ran out of things all the time, but there were just certain things that you could never run out of. For example, toilet paper.
Yes, never was going to happen. This is way pre-COVID.
When Max doesn't mention that toilet paper is running low and all of a sudden he's just like, hey, we're out. I'm like, are you serious? That's great that you're a man and you don't really need toilet paper. But right. For me, this is a much bigger issue. And now what are we supposed to do?
Yeah. So I feel you on that. So when this happens, it drives me wild. So I had a meeting yesterday morning and I scheduled the coffee pot. And so I had this all planned out. I was going to pour my cup, sit down with my computer, and then log on to my meeting.
Could you not just drink it black?
No. Okay. So I got, this is an aside, but it's important to the story. I recently got one of those frothers where they have like the little motors and you dip it,
making the creamer
like all frothy and stuff. It brings me so much joy and value to my life. I can't even express how this has changed my life. And so mentally, I was already sipping on my frothy coffee, so I could not just go black. So I was like, okay, I'm going to run over to the grocery store, grab the creamer, come back. I'll have just enough time to do that and then hop on my call. So from the time that it took me to check out at the grocery store to walk in the front door, the entire power went out to our entire city. Like, there was power. I was able to check out at the grocery store, and then I walked in the door, and as soon as I walked in, Brian is standing there in the dark, and he's like, there's no power, and there's no cell reception. Somehow, the cell reception went down in that time, too. Yes. I don't know what happened, but no power, no cell reception.
Let's just preface this by saying that you live in San Diego.
Yes.
And not anywhere near where there was horrible, horrible weather this week. And as an aside, we do want to put our hearts out there to anyone affected by the tornadoes in the U.S.
Gosh, yeah.
We're thinking of you if you're affected by that in any way. But moving back into San Diego, where you fortunately do not have to deal with that crazy weather. So these kind of things do not happen.
Exactly. And I still don't understand what happened, but so stressful. So I'm trying to like get a hold of the person that I'm supposed to meet with. And it's pretty hard when you don't have power or cell reception to email someone, to call them, to text them, to show up to the meeting. And I had like multiple meetings yesterday morning too. It was just chaos. And it's definitely not the worst thing that could have happened ever in the world, but it was definitely one of those moments where it just really makes you think and appreciate all of these things that I do instinctually. I take for granted, like, oh, you know, I'll just text them. I'll just email. I'll just, you know, whatever. I've got all of these ways to communicate with people. But when you can't, you really appreciate how convenient our life is for the most part.
100%. So I have two questions here. Okay. One, did you get your coffee?
I did. I wasn't able to finish it, but at least I got a few sips in before we had to take off and find another place to work from yesterday.
So. Okay. And then two, how long did that last? The power outage, the cell phone outage?
It was all day. It happened around 9 a.m. ish. And then it was out until maybe like 2 or 3 yesterday afternoon. So as far as the working day goes, like a good chunk of the working day.
So that reminds me, there was a time when I was still living in San Diego, probably, 12 years ago now, and the power went off. Same thing, actually. I was at the grocery store, and it went off when I was in line, and they were just like, sorry, no one can check out. So I tried driving home. None of the street lights were on. They weren't even flashing, just out. Zero power anywhere. You couldn't do anything. There was literally nothing to do. And it ended up being one of the most fun nights ever because in my apartment complex, we knew a few people, but everyone had to come together and kind of compile resources, be like, okay, you were able to pay cash at this store for beer. I've got a pizza. I have no way to cook it, but this guy has a barbecue. So if we all get together, and then we can eat and drink and we'll have a great time. And I think it's something that everyone in San Diego that was living there at the time has a story about, because we all did the same thing because there truly was no other option. You just had to go outside and start talking to whomever could make the situation a little bit better. And it was so much fun. I think of that night fondly, but I'm glad it doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah, I think on occasion it's not the worst thing in the world, but it definitely made me very appreciative of electricity and my cell phone.
For sure. Even to just buy basic necessities like food and beer.
Totally.
Okay, so let's get into the pop culture happenings of the week.
I'm excited. There's actually been quite a bit going on this past week, which the last month has been really quiet and slow and boring overall. As far as pop culture goes, sorry, not like in general.
No, I agree. That's why we've had to talk about other things. But I'm excited to just get back into pop culture this week. First, Kim Kardashian, who I know you always say, we're over. I don't know what it is. I'm just obsessed with the Kardashians and not in like a fanatic way. I just am so addicted to learning about the reality because it is so fascinating to me. But anyways, we have a few things on the Kim Kardashian front. The first one, she filed documents last Friday to restore her marital status to single. So that doesn't mean that they're divorced. It just means that she's single and then they'll figure out her property settlement and custody and all of that at a later date. But she wants to be legally single now. And she said that she has tried to reach out to Kanye from a legal standpoint for a while, and he's just ignoring her. So that is why she had to make this motion in court.
I mean, it sounds incredibly toxic, the interactions between them, with him going on all of these, I don't know if it's like podcasts or whatever interviews he's doing.
He says he's going to get her back.
Right. Like, that's really toxic.
You know what's even more toxic is he did that at a show this past week Kim and the kids were at. Could you imagine your dad is publicly proclaiming that he wants your mom back and then your mom's like, no, I don't want that. And you don't know the true reason because you're a child and they shouldn't be involved in those discussions at all.
Right.
But like, how does that not mess you up in the future? I feel so bad for those kids that he just isn't leaving them out of it. They should not be involved in that at all. Right. And they're probably so confused. And that's an awful situation.
Yeah, it is. From like the mental health perspective, kids need to be sheltered from some things. And you would hope as a parent, you would be able to put it aside when you need to protect your children, whether that means dealing with it in therapy or talking with your friends or doing whatever you need to do to like work through that stuff, but in a way that you really limit the impact on your kids. And it just really doesn't seem that that's on his radar at all.
But in good news on the Kim Kardashian front, she finally passed the baby bar. Woo! On her fourth try.
Good for her.
Which is so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, what a lesson of resilience. And I think it's very cool that she has been open about the fact that she has taken this now three times and failed it.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a really great lesson that if we try things and really put our efforts towards them, even if it feels impossible, there is a route to success. And I know we can shit on Kim, we can say she doesn't have any talent, but she is incredibly hardworking. And I think it is so awesome. So congratulations to Kim for finally doing that.
Yeah,
she still has one more test that she has to take before she becomes a lawyer.
She would still have to actually pass the bar. She hasn't passed the bar.
No,
they're two different things. She still has to pass the actual California bar. This is the baby bar that applies to people that don't don't go the traditional route of going to an accredited law school. This is how they're allowed to continue on in their studies to eventually get to a point where they can qualify to take the bar.
So she has to take one more test to finish what would be the equivalent of law school, and then she takes the actual bar, and then she's a lawyer?
I don't know about the one more test to finish law school part. That I'm not educated on. Maybe we could reach out to our friends at Allegedly Bravo and get some clarification. I don't know.
Basically, we have no idea what we're talking about, no. But congratulations to Kim. Okay, so keeping it in the family, Caitlyn Jenner is apparently a regular at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and she showed up at the Polo Lounge this weekend and had one rip in her jeans. That was just the style of it, but it violated dress code and she got turned away or kicked out or something. And she wrote a scathing Instagram story basically calling the hotel disgusting.
Really?
What are your thoughts on this? Yeah.
I missed all of this. I don't know any of the details. I, first of all, had no idea that the Polo Lounge had a dress code.
It's very fancy schmancy. I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I'm like, is that dress code probably just completely old and too particular? Probably, honestly.
Yeah.
But if you're patronizing them, then you kind of have to agree to their rules. It's private property.
Right. Yeah. I mean, without diving more into the details around it, so I could be totally speaking out of my, you know what, but I agree with you. I think if you're a private business owner, to a certain extent, like if you want people to dress up when they enter your establishment, that's not that outlandish of a requirement.
Yeah. So I don't really have too many thoughts whether she's right or wrong, but moving on. So the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills has halted filming again because Lisa Rinna, Erica Jane, and Garcelle Bovice, I don't know how to say her last name.
Bouvet, I believe.
All tested positive for COVID. And this is the second time that this has happened. The filming was also halted late last year when Kyle, Kathy, and Dorit all tested positive. So it's interesting trying to do production in this new world of COVID.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my stance is you're filming these shows, you have them going to social events, it's gonna happen, right? Like you can do your best, but it's a reality of our world nowadays. You know, we do what we can, like in situations where masking is appropriate, wear your mask, like you get vaccinated, but these things just happen when you're interacting and filming a reality show. I don't know that anyone necessarily did something wrong in this case for this to have happened.
Totally. It's just a very interesting hurdle that people have to deal with in this new world.
Totally.
Unless you're doing like Love Island, where they're just all kind of locked in a house.
Yeah, quarantined together, basically. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Which, oh my God, Love Island, by the way. I started watching the third season of Love Island USA just recently, got released on Netflix, and it is just one of the better reality shows of all time. Season 3 really brought it, and I'm only a few episodes in, but I'm really enjoying it so far.
People are so into that show, especially the UK version, though. That's like the original, right? And that's like the one that
I've been into. But I've only seen the Australian version, which is so good. I thought that this show sounded so stupid. I was like, I'm absolutely not going to like it. But several months ago, one of my roommates got me into it. And once you're in, you're hooked. But it definitely took me probably 4 or 5 episodes to get in. I really didn't like it. I don't even know how I lasted those 4 or 5 episodes, but I'm so glad that I did because it is a great show.
It's like what we were talking about recently with Selling Sunset, like how I forced myself to finish. Like you committed to it already, you're miserable, but you just push through and then sometimes it gets good. Selling Sunset didn't, in my opinion, but it sounds like Love Island did for you.
Speaking of Selling Sunset, I don't know if you saw, but Bravo Bone Collector on Instagram, she did a deep dive into the homes that they showcase on the show.
Uh-huh.
And almost none of them, or like I don't know, three of them were actually sold or purchased with the cast members as the brokers or agents. The rest of them had nothing to do with the Oppenheim group, the agents featured on the show. So it is truly fake. You've been duped.
That is so wild to me because obviously those homes were probably on the market from someone, right?
Most of them did sell, just not them.
Why come up with this like fake reality show? I just find the whole thing so interesting. It just seems like so much effort, energy, and money to have this like kind of scripted version of something that you could actually just film it really happening.
It's confusing to me because they're clearly selling something. So is it just that the homes are not as beautiful as they would like them to be for TV? Like
maybe
they're obviously agents. They're obviously a brokerage that's earning some sort of money. So there has to be sales happening. So it's very confusing and it just furthers my disdain for that show. The Sex and the City reboot in Just Like That.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
No, I refuse to. I'm not excited about it. I thought it was a horrible idea. The second movie was awful, just trash. I don't understand why we can't just let a good thing like live in our memories. Why do we keep having to bring back something and like make more of it? Like it was great when I was in college. My friends and I like all loved watching Sex and the City DVDs back in the DVD days. But like it's over. I'm not into it. So no, I'm not watching it. I'm not going to watch it. But I did see all the spoilers like floating around online.
That's what I'm pissed about. So
did you watch it?
No, because I've never watched Sex and the City to begin with. I've seen a few episodes here and there, but I am holding out to watch it as a whole show. I was a little young for it when it first came out and just like never really got on the train, but I do want to watch it at some point. And so I've heard great things about the Sex and the City reboot. I was excited to watch it. And now I feel like I can't because that Peloton commercial totally was a spoiler. Sorry if you can hear my dog's collar shaking in the background. He's not supposed to be in my recording room, but
he is.
Here he is, coming in strong. But anyways, I thought it was kind of annoying that Peloton gave this big spoiler of what happened.
I've never heard of anyone refer to it as Peloton. It's called in the US Peloton. Peloton. I don't know. Do they say Peloton in Bali? I don't know what's happening there.
They don't ship to Indonesia, so I don't know. Sorry, Peloton.
Yeah.
I don't have one. Regardless, I'm sure it was cute if you've seen it, but if you haven't, then you're like, oh, I kind of know what's going on. And then when you hear people talk about it, you can put the pieces together. And now I know exactly what happened and I'm annoyed by it, but like not that annoyed because again, I still haven't seen Sex and the City originally.
So you certainly have no leg to stand on this argument, but
how pissed would you be if you did?
You are very much in the wrong for so many reasons. And the main one being when a new show like that comes out, you know that that is going to be all over everywhere. It's going to be talked about in podcasts. It's going to be all over social media. It's going to be everywhere. And so once that episode comes out, you have a very small window of time the day it comes out to watch it and avoid social media and any spoilers. If you wait a couple of days to watch that new episode, then you better be avoiding social media, avoiding talking to people, avoiding podcasts like the plague. That is on you. That is your journey. Sometimes I watch The Real Housewives a day or two later, and I know that is on me. When I'm on social media, I'm like, oh, gotta scroll over. If I see a spoiler, that's on me. That's my bad. That's no one else. I had an opportunity to watch it. I chose to do something different. I feel extremely strongly about this matter, and you are in the wrong.
But you know what's annoying is like when I saw that everyone's freaking out about this Peloton commercial on Instagram, I was like, oh, I need to watch it. And then I was like, I don't get it. So then I had to start reading the comments and it's all spoiled for me. Let's move on. This is ridiculous. In other less exciting news, Billie Eilish hosted SNL this week, which I did not see, but I did just want to say I used to be very anti-Billie Eilish. I thought she was just not really for me. And I started watching her Vanity Fair interviews, the same interview every year. Have you ever seen those?
No. I know nothing about Billie Eilish other than she's young, her older brother is like involved in her career, and there's like a documentary about her and her family or something. That's it. That's literally all I know.
So you have to watch these Vanity Fair interviews. They're on YouTube.
I don't think I'm going to do that.
She does it the same day every year, and it's the same interview, and it's so fascinating to watch someone grow up in the sense that she is still a teenager, and it also began before she gained any sort of amount of fame that she has now. And it's so fascinating to watch her grow up in both of those ways through this interview, where they really are asking her the same questions and she's reflecting back and getting to see her answers and commenting on how she felt back then and what she really would have said if she was able to speak the truth on it. But it's just so fascinating, and I highly recommend watching it. It's so good.
So I do have a bone to pick with you. This is a show I've never seen. So this is going to be like my Sex and the City unwarranted emotion. But you posted on our Instagram stories that you were thrilled for Emily in Paris to come back. And I cannot bring myself to watch that show because it looks so stupid. What do you like about that show?
Everything. It's so good. It's so cheesy. I understand why it's getting so much hate and pushback, but it is such a good binge-worthy show. And I can't believe that you haven't watched it.
No.
I watched it around this time last year in COVID, and just, I mean, it was gone within a day or two because I had to binge it. It is so good. Everyone that I know personally who has watched it absolutely loves it. It's just lighthearted. It's funny. It's cute. You get to see Paris. What's not to love?
Okay, so it's like an easy watch. Like, you are not going to be upset by it. It's just like one of those when you're just like, I'm having a rough week. I just need something to take my mind off of things and feel good about. That's like the type of show.
100%. Okay. It's so lighthearted and cute. I don't even really remember what the storyline was. I just really loved it. And I am so excited to feel that way again when season two drops, I think this week.
You remember the feeling.
Exactly. I really don't remember the characters. I probably should rewatch season one before season two drops because I honestly have no idea what happened, but can't recommend it enough. If you hate it, don't come at me. That's all I got. I know last week we were talking about Christmas movies. I did watch a new Christmas movie on Netflix, Single All the Way. Have you seen it?
No.
I forget the guy's names, but it's one guy who I think was in Younger.
Okay.
Also a really great show, kind of along the same lines of Emily in Paris. Jennifer Coolidge is in it, but she doesn't have a huge part, but she's hilarious. But it's the first gay romance Christmas story I've ever seen. Oh. And I loved it.
Nice.
It's just so lighthearted and cute, and it's happy, and can't recommend that one enough either. I feel like Netflix is really going all in on the Christmas movies, and I think it's a great choice for them, putting a lot of money there.
Are they trying to compete with like the Hallmark Lifetime genre of Christmas movies?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not like really
so they're cheesy.
Into them. Yeah, that's like not really my jam.
I still recommend Single All the Way. It was comedic. It was cute. Okay. If you just want a feel-good love story that you don't have to pay like full attention to while you're watching it, it's a great one. Speaking of TV, though, a long-running daytime TV show is coming to an end.
What?
And I know you're not going to be sad about this at all, as I am not either. But after 13 seasons on the air, the Dr. Oz show is ending.
Is this because of his political journey?
It is. Fox News stations in Pennsylvania and NYC pulled the show. So, yeah, I don't know. They just stopped airing it. But what's interestingly filling the spot is his daughter's show, which I think is a cooking show.
Who is his daughter?
Her name is Daphne Oz. No idea.
I have no idea either.
The show's called The Good Dish. I'm also not 100% sure that it's a cooking show. I just went off the name. This is an episode where please do not take anything that we have said factually. Normally, I have done much better research, but
do your own
research.
We're
just talking about. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Don't hold me accountable. Please don't sue me. This is all allegedly. This is all coming off the top of my head. But hopefully this is entertaining enough because this is what's been going through my mind. So now you're going to peek into my brain in the pop culture world this week.
So did you see Page Six posted yesterday that Julia Hart and her husband, what is his name? Silvio, are getting divorced.
No way.
Oh, you didn't see that? Yeah, they did post.
No.
There have been rumors all, I was going to say all summer. It's December. That's where my brain is. I'm like, all summer. What? Who am I?
During times of COVID, no one knows what time it is. So it's fine.
So for the past few months, which I apparently have thought were summer, there have been rumors circulating that they're splitting. And those rumors have come from them traveling a lot separately. He's been spending a lot of time with like his adult children, I guess. Again, loosely, these are things that I've seen. I don't have them in front of me. And then she's been traveling, spending a lot of time with her kids and working and things like that. But the Page Six article was interesting, though, because the title of the Page Six interview is "My Unorthodox Life Star Julia Hart and Husband Silvio Are Splitting." But then in the article, it says, "Meanwhile, another source tells us the pair is, quote unquote, currently living together and love one another." So are they splitting or are they not? Like, there's one person in the article saying that they're splitting and they're living separate lives. And then another person is saying that they're living together and they love each other. So
to me, you can have both. Is it messy? Is it complicated? Yes. But if there's one thing I've learned the more that I've grown up, it's that standard definitions of anything when it comes to relationships really are not always true. They're not always how you expect them to be. So I think it's possible that they are separating and getting a divorce and they're also living together and love each other.
Yeah, that's true. I guess both things can be true. That would be tough for me. Mm-hmm. I would have a very challenging time living with someone that I was divorcing. The stress of that would greatly impact me, but they also are like billionaires. So I imagine their home is probably a lot larger than mine. So maybe they're living under the same roof, but like very far apart.
Oh, that's such a bummer though. I'm interested to see that play out to the extent that they're willing to show it on My Unorthodox Life.
It'll be really interesting to see what they show on season two. Batsheva just separated from her husband. It's like a 180.
Right. I wonder if mom and daughter were kind of like, we're not happy. These aren't working well for us. Should we just get out of these relationships? We'll do it together and be each other's support system and cheerleader. I mean, I'm sure that has to play into it to some degree, right?
I don't know.
It's very coincidental timing that these two very long-standing relationships have both publicly ended within the last month of each other.
I don't think Julia's is very long-standing. I think they've only been together for like 3, maybe 4 years, and they only were married, I think, in 2019. Batsheva was
regardless,
together for a long time.
3 or 4 years for the same month that you separate.
Yeah, it's...
Like, there's still a lot of months and only 3 to 4 years if that's the case. So, I don't know. I hope the best for her. I hope that that's what she wants and she's happy and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see season two of that show and see what they decide to air and what they don't, especially because her book should be out, I think, by the time season two airs or close to coming out. I think the book comes out, what, March of next year? And it's already almost January, so.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what she feels comfortable putting in her book and putting in season two of the show. And I think this probably guarantees that there will be a season three of the show as well, with so much change going on in their lives.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so I watched The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City the other day, and I do think it's getting better. I'm still not super in love with this season, but it's interesting. It's keeping my attention for the most part. So this last episode, there's this cast member named Whitney, and she has a skincare line. I believe it's all skincare. And she's currently going through a rebranding, which I don't understand. I get it in the sense that her company has always been called Iris and Beau, and now she's changing the name to Wild Rose, I think, which her last name is Rose. So she's trying to like put her name on it. But this rebranding branding is apparently extremely expensive, and she's already spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that like drained her family's savings for the previous company that she has. So it does not appear that she can like afford to do this rebranding is essentially what I'm trying to say.
So there's probably an underlying motivation for her to do it.
No, I think it's just like a bad business decision. I think she thinks her company will be more profitable if her name is attached to it. But I don't think that it's going to help to the extent of how much it's costing her. You know, I think she probably would have been like, okay, just like keeping the old name and just pushing it hard on the show and social media.
I just don't see how that would help the product sales at all. If it's tied to her, Wild Rose is not telling anyone that she owns the product anymore than whatever the name was.
I know. I agree.
That's crazy. It is. I feel like there is something that we're not hearing about this.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I think in just a second, because on Sunday's episode, there's a scene of her and her husband talking in the kitchen, and her young daughter is sitting there, and her daughter's probably like 12 or maybe 10, something like that. And they're talking about the rebranding, and she essentially like ambushes her husband on camera and says she has applied for a $1 million small business loan. And if she gets approved for that, then they're not going to need to put in any more money to the company. But if she doesn't get approved for that, they're going to have to put down $250,000. Her and her husband have to come up with this money, which it sounds like they do not have. It sounds like they've already put in all of their savings. And then she said that her husband's going to have to co-sign on this loan too. And her husband's face looked like he was hearing all of this for the first time on camera in front of their young daughter. She said, "I'm not good with money." And I was just thinking, oh my gosh, they have probably had a lot of conversations about like spending in the past. And she was probably afraid to tell him this privately.
Not on camera.
Yeah. And so she ambushed him with this information on camera. And I cannot even tell you how upset I would be if I were on the receiving end of information like that from my spouse and they told me on camera because they know I can't react to it. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so bad.
I mean, I guess smart move on her part. If that's what she was going to do anyway, allow them a little time to like
process
it before they're able to talk. But overall, really poor decision. It sounds like, again, I don't know the backings of her business. I don't know the motivation, but it just sounds like there has to be another motivating factor for her to do this. And if not, then I just don't see how she's going to get the payoff from this. I also don't understand why it's that expensive to change the name. It seems like it's just a couple legal things and rebranding things, like you're paying a marketing company.
The packaging, it sounds like
they have a lot of stock, yeah, I guess. It seems like you would just sell out of everything. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe they should be doing this in a more logical way.
I agree.
So it just sounds overall like a bad.
Like a chaos. Yeah.
A bad idea.
Yeah, I agree. That's the impression that came across on the show. So then later at the end of the episode ends with her rebranding photo shoot, which she says she spent $20,000 on this rebranding photo shoot.
If you don't have money, you can do a photo shoot for free. Like literally, it doesn't need to be perfect. And you could just hire like a new photographer to do it with an iPhone and then edit it using apps. Like, is it going to be perfect? Is it going to be what you want it to be? Maybe not that first go around, but you can't just be spending $1 million that you don't have or $20,000 that you I don't know. I mean, I see probably where she was going.
No, that's what you would think, right? Like, that is a stretch, but that at least makes sense on some level. So they didn't even have the new branding for the products. The products that they were photographing all had the old branding.
But
yes. And she said this was the rebranding photo shoot that they were spending $20,000 on. So they were photographing old products, not new. There was no...
Were they planning to Photoshop the new branding on it, or...
I don't know, Kelly. And then they were photographing... Am I saying that word right? Why does that sound so weird?
Yeah, no, I think you are saying it right, oh. But I was also... I'm probably giving you a weird look when you're saying it because it just sounds strange the way it's coming out of your mouth right now. We're a mess today.
We are a mess today. All over the place. So
we can't speak. We have no idea what we're talking about.
They were taking pictures of models with no products, like at all. And granted, it's like a skincare company, but do you really need to pay $20,000 to just take pictures of models without skincare? Like,
no, if you're doing that, you should just pay for stock images.
Yeah, or just use old pictures that you have and cut out the product or whatever.
I get why big skincare brands would do this. I'm just saying, if you don't have the money, you don't need to invest that much money to start or continue your business. If you're bootstrapping it, sometimes you have to do things
like actually
out of the ordinary.
You like actually have to bootstrap. Yeah. You don't hire like the most expensive photographer and all these models and everything. Well, then she invited a bunch of her castmates over and had tons of champagne. She had it catered with these like really fancy charcuterie boards.
But wouldn't you think that the show Bravo is paying for that at least? I've heard anytime they do a lunch or all get together, Bravo pays for it.
I mean, I would hope so, but based on the fact she spent $20,000 on this event, I don't know that that is necessarily true. I'm not here to tell anyone how they should spend their money, but when she had a scene with her husband where it was very clearly communicated that there are severe financial troubles, like her husband literally said, "I'm older than you. If something were to happen to me tomorrow, our family would be in a really bad place. Like, we have spent all of our money, all of our savings on your company." And he asked her, like, "Is this a hobby or is this a company?" Like, he said those things to her. So there are real financial issues here.
It sounds like real financial issues and real relationship issues.
Yes. Both. Well, I think it's never a good thing when you ambush your partner on camera with the fact that you are already in debt and you just applied for $1 million loan that they might have to come up with $250,000 and co-sign on. That's typically indicative of some stuff going down.
Yeah. And I do just want to say what I said, that's a good idea for her. I'm not saying it was a good idea. I'm saying if she was going to do it. And I mean, she probably had a better conversation because he had some time to process. But no, I don't advise anyone ever doing that in their relationship. Please, no, do not. If it involves your partner, your financial decisions, then please discuss them from the beginning. Hear them out. When it starts to affect your partner, I do think that they should be able to voice their concerns, their support.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's reasonable. Luckily for most people are not on a reality show, so they don't even have the option of ambushing their partner in front of the cameras. But for this situation, it was a lot. It was a lot to digest.
All right, well, I'm glad that Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is finally picking up for you, but do not take it as business advice. Do not take that show as marital or relationship advice or legal advice, is what I've learned from your recaps of this show.
I mean, certainly not business advice, given that one of the cast members, not the one we were just talking about, is currently being indicted on federal felony charges. So please do not take business advice from this show. So on that high note, let's wrap it up for today.
Thank you so much for joining us for another week of We Thought You Asked. Thanks for bearing with us as we talked about a whole lot of nonsense today. We'll come back even better next week with hopefully more factual information for you and some unsolicited advice.
Or maybe not. It's the holidays, you know, all of our brains are wherever they are. So stay with us, tell a friend, rate us 5 stars, and make sure to follow us over on Instagram at We Thought You Asked. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye.